This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Couldn't have written a worse script for the San Diego State Aztecs on Saturday night. If the SDFC game was the perfect script for the opening game in franchise history. Yeah, what happened to the Aztecs in Logan, Utah was the exact opposite of what Brian Dutcher would have wanted. Welcome back. It is Ben Woods, hour number two. So I'll get a little basketball Ben on you, but I think you can follow me here, Woods. Utah State plays a 2-3, kind of a very specialized zone defense. And the Aztecs had some success against it, then struggled against it in the first meeting when Utah State rallied and beat them at Viejas Arena. The best way to beat a zone defense like that is to have a big man on the high post. So like right there by the free throw line,
sure.
He jumps out, you get it into the middle, and then if he's a good passer, which Magoon Gwoth is a great passer for a 7-footer, you've got all sorts of options. You've got guys cutting to the basket for dunks. You've got guys cutting to the corners for open 3-pointers. If you can get it into him.
Is that like the triangle kind of like?
It's a little bit like Phil Jackson's triangle.
All we face in adult league is 2-3 zones.
Yeah,
that's all you face. And I always go up to the free throw line, and then if the guards crash on you up top, a wing is open for a three.
Got it.
If the guys down low try to run up and get you, then somebody's cutting towards the basket, should be wide open. You can pass, dribble, or shoot. Triple threat.
So Magoon has been the Aztecs' best player over the last probably about a month now. And I guarantee you that the entire, few days going into that game, the whole strategy was built around him and getting to that high post and all the different options. And for Brian Dutcher to lose him about 2 minutes into the game to a knee injury, which they called a hyperextended knee, but they're still waiting on the results from the MRI. And I'm not sensing a lot of optimism. I mean, he's already ruled him out for tomorrow's game against New Mexico. There's a good chance that Magoon Gwoth will not play again if he needs surgery.
A gut punch.
They had to completely change their game plan on Saturday. And you can see they fell behind by 14. And guess what? Because Dutch and his staff, they're good coaches and they have some good players. They figured out a couple different things to do. They cut it to 7 by halftime. And they actually battled back in the second half. Took a couple of leads. Got up by 4 and got my hopes up there at the end. They were up 4, less than 4 minutes to go. And I go, they're going to pull this out. This is going to be one of the great, great signature wins for this team. And then they just went ice cold at the end. And Utah State went on a 14-0 run or something.
God.
And closed out the Aztecs, swept the season series. Nick Boyd had such a great second half. He had 13 in the second half. B.J. Davis, they needed someone to step up and make some shots. And B.J. Davis, after not having done much the last month and a half, he got hot and he hit some threes and really got him back into the game and then fouled out on what was such a frustrating, I mean, there were so many things that frustrated me about that game. First of all, when Magoon got injured, the fact that the referees didn't stop the game. They should have stopped it when San Diego State was on offense.
He's on the ground,
he's
writhing
right? in pain. San Diego State's going the other way. No one stops it. Then they miss, and then Utah State gets the rebound. No one stops it, and they just let
Utah
State. He's
still on the ground.
He's still on the ground. They let Utah State come right back and nearly fall on top of them as they get the layup. And I'm going, why are you not blowing the whistle and stopping the game? You got a player who's clearly hurt. Not he didn't get the wind knocked out of him. He's got a serious injury, and you're just letting it play on for like 30 seconds, going back and forth. What are you doing? It was.
You never see that. I mean, guys,
referee malpractice.
Once they get a rebound, a defensive rebound, you kind of clear the ball out. Then the ref calls my timeout, and calls stops the game. Make sure the kid's
okay. I don't know that I've ever seen Dutch as mad. Dutch doesn't get that mad often, but he was like running out onto the floor, screaming at the official, "My guy's down. What are you doing here?" So that was frustrating.
Did you see in
he looked like this?
Yeah. Did you see in the UT? They actually pulled one of Chris Ellis' tweets, not yours. Read. Do you have yours handy? Because I invented a new character that night. I was at a break at the Seals game, and I saw Ben's tweet, and I called him Ben Wren instead of Karen because you were hot.
Chris had the same thought, but I said, "What did I say?" Here it is. Where's my tweet?
We'll wait. It's fine. He has to weed through the several dozen,
I know,
Aztecs tweets from that night.
That's an outrageous mistake by the officials not to stop play. Outrageous. They should be disciplined by the Mountain West for that.
That is a very Karen-type tweet.
Chris, though, who is a longtime basketball referee, high school basketball games, if you didn't know that, you'll see him around town a couple of times a week, said that's an embarrassment to his profession that they wouldn't stop the game there.
And he said they embarrassed all of us who officiate. No excuse will do. And then they drag this guy's personal life in the article.
Yeah, in Mark Ziegler's Three Thoughts column.
This is unreal.
He said the official who was standing like right over Magoon Guath. This is wild.
It's wild, guys.
He used to be the police chief.
Larry Serrato.
Yeah, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he got fired from his job because he had been like reffing college basketball games on company time. And so they fired him, and then he took the job as Pittsburgh's police chief.
Yes.
And promised, "I'm not going to ref games," but then quietly started doing it again and resigned from the post. The guy is addicted to refereeing games. He's twice losing his job.
He's a double dipper. The guy was making 187 grand as a police chief, and then he was getting about 3 grand a game. Again, one of those things where it's like, hey, bud, you make $190,000 as a police chief. You make $3,000 as a referee. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's something that will never cease to amaze me, ever. So they got fired from that gig as well. So they not only did they question the call, they go into a deep dive about his personal life as a very shady referee.
So ultimately, the Aztecs lost, and I know some fans were frustrated. I thought it was a pretty gutty performance just to come back and have a chance to win that game. They probably would have if two of Utah State's just like role players hadn't had career games. Dexter Akano went 7 for 9 on three-pointers and scored 26 points. You know how many he scored in the first meeting when they beat San Diego State? None. Zero. Guy's not one of their key players. He just had an insane night. They also had Dayton Albury, who scored 18 points. You know what he did? He went 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Guy's a 60% free throw shooter and makes 12 of 13. Unless a couple of Utah State, honestly, scrubs don't have the games of their lives, San Diego State goes in and wins that game without Magoon Guath anyway. But unfortunately, now they're going forward, likely without Guath. They have to play New Mexico. If they don't win that game tomorrow at Viejas Arena, the likelihood of getting an at-large berth goes down to, I mean, really almost nothing. I mean, they'll be on the bubble still, even if they lose, because it's not a bad loss. But if they don't win the rest of their regular season games and get to the final of the Mountain West Tournament, that'll keep them on the bubble. But usually at the end of the year at the bubble, you have a couple of teams that are, you know, bid stealers that win their conference tournaments that wouldn't have got in, and that knocks like three or four teams out that would have been in. So San Diego State's in trouble now. They
that
are officially
sucks,
in trouble to make the NCAA tournament this year.
Well, and again, like you look at it and you go, okay. I mean, not like you said, not the most terrible loss you can have.
No,
you said, but the loss is
you were expected to lose.
The loss is Magoon. That's the loss, and now having to basically revamp your entire offense on the fly with just a handful of games left and potentially a tournament is tough. All right. Question: If they don't go out and win, let's say that they don't do what they need to do, Ben, to get the at large bid, and they don't win the Mountain West tournament, do they go to the other one?
The NIT,
yeah, the
probably.
NIT.
I mean, it's
I almost
good
said
experience.
NIL. They it's, go to the NIT.
It's good experience for. I mean, they have so many freshmen and sophomores who've
do
never
you?
Played in postseason games. Yeah,
do you?
Yeah, you do.
Do you?
I think a lot of times the players do want to play.
You probably get a home game, and you get. Get a chance to, you know, make some revenue
it's
from
just,
that.
It's not the same.
It's not. It's, you know, for this team that was loaded with young players, it's not like an insult. It's not like you were picked top 10 in the preseason and then just had a horrible
That's
year.
True.
And you're like, an NIT bid
what
is
What were they expect,
insulting.
They were picked, what, fourth?
Fourth in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
So
they were only ranked a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. All right.
They'll probably look at a two seed in the NIT.
You would play in it, you know, as a little spoiled, and that'll feel like a real disappointment if you're there. But
yeah.
I think it's good for the players to at least
get some
postseason experience.
Players
for next
usually
year.
Like the whether it's the NIT or they have another one as well. Like
players like to play.
The players like to play.
Yeah,
they want to keep it rolling as long as possible, even if it's not the main tournament.
Yeah.
But as a fan, it's hard to get up for the NIT. 100%.
It's still Dutch. I mean, if Miles Bird's been struggling, he's 1-for-9 on threes. If he could get going like he was early in the season again, that could make up for, you know, maybe some of Magoon's loss. But right now, I'm not overly optimistic, unfortunately. The good news is, very optimistic about UCSD's chances making the NCAA tournament.
Which will
at this
be
point.
Fun, too. Yeah.
They absolutely obliterated Hawaii on Saturday night. 83-44. It was their biggest Big West win in school history. Their ninth straight win for the Tritons. They're now 24-4, 12-2 in the Big West. They're certainly going to get one of those top two seeds. So they're only going to need to win those two games to get into the NCAA tournament. And there's a chance. Even if they didn't, even if they lost in the final, they could get an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. Their next game is at Cal State Northridge on Thursday. And I'll just throw in, unfortunately, it's been a rough season for the other college basketball team in town. USD lost their 15th straight game on Saturday to Oregon 15 State.
15 straight.
15 in a row. Yeah. It's been rough for Steve Lavin. I don't know what they're going to do about that program. I like everyone over there at USD, but men's basketball has had a rough year. Women's basketball, they just fired Cindy Fisher, who's been their longtime, very successful head coach. And unfortunately for Brock Ungerich, a baseball coach, they're off to an 0-7 start. They got swept again.
Ben and Woods curse, and I fear the Ben and Woods curse.
It's I feel bad. It's been a really, really rough few weeks here for the USD athletic program.
Nowhere to go but up, my friends.
So, yeah, just turning around. But, unfortunately, the things have been struggling over there.
Hey!
So.
At least we have SDFC. How about that? 1-0, everybody.
There you go.
1-0. How
there
about
you go.
That?
Yeah, we'll talk more SDFC coming up. Also, Don't Do This is in our next segment, including the aforementioned Dodger fan at the game yesterday who was very easy to hear and had no idea what she was talking about.
I mean, it's very common. Very casual.
Hi, Woods.
Hi, Ben. You're waiting for me now.
I am.
I thought we were a little early, but I'll go ahead and take my opportunity here to tell you about QC Kinetics. As I mentioned in the first break of the day, I'm going to be going down and shooting a little commercial with them today, a television commercial. And when they asked me to do it, I said, no question. You guys have changed my life dramatically. A couple of years ago, could not do anything. My hands were in such bad shape. Did not really know what the problem was. Somebody recommended QC Kinetics. I went in. I was skeptical. I was nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. But man, I went in and got 5 treatments on each hand and was playing baseball yesterday, albeit not very well. Play golf, play guitar, able to pick my kids up, throw them around, do all the things that I love to do that I could not do before. And that is 100%. Thank 100% because of the treatments I got at QC Kinetics. So if you're feeling the joint pain, your knees, your hips, your shoulder, your back, your wrists, like I did, just call QC Kinetics today at 619-614-PAIN. Joint pain does not get better with time. Before it gets absolutely debilitating and you have to really quit doing all the things that you love to do, go see if you're a candidate for these life-changing regenerative treatments. They got a location in Torrey Hills and one in Hillcrest. Get a free consultation when you call 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics. Once again, 619-614-PAIN.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Well, I will start with a story that might sound a little familiar for San Diego State fans. We talked last week about how Big 12 teams are starting to get the old, the trip to BYU and how difficult it is to play at altitude that Mountain West teams have known for so long. The reverse, though, has started to happen. BYU traveled to Arizona last week to take on the Wildcats. And during the game, a video emerged of Arizona fans chanting, an expletive followed by Mormons toward BYU players. And that was obviously became a story. The Arizona
fudge.
Yes, the Mormons.
Oh, wow, that's hardcore.
Obviously,
the
school had, on behalf of the University of Arizona Athletic Department, we apologize to BYU, their student athletes, coaches, and fans. The chant is not reflective of who we are and should not have happened from the athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois. This, of course, should sound very familiar because when BYU used to be in the Mountain West, the show got in some national hot water for somewhat similar off-color chants. And, Paul, you were a student back then. Do you remember anything about the days of BYU visiting Viejas Arena?
I don't remember any of that. I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody was very polite and respectful and dressed accordingly, and
you didn't wear a bicycle helmet.
I don't think San Diego State had to issue too many apologies for any games I was at.
Least,
so I don't know what you're talking
two
about.
That I remember just from covering it back in the day when San Diego State got in trouble for just about the exact same thing. That
I don't
Arizona
endorse that at all.
Is getting
I think that,
trouble for right
I
now.
Think BYU is a fine university,
fine people,
great historical sports program there, and I have nothing bad to say about
Arizona,
BYU.
The karma hit them good because BYU pulled off the 96-95 upset on the road on Saturday night in Tucson.
Those are their fine middle-aged men.
I never said one bad thing about Jimmer Fredette.
Dude, it wouldn't matter where that guy went. That guy deserved every bit of grief that he got.
Jimmer, my God, it was kind of fun. Like, not fun. But you appreciated what you were watching.
Of course.
You watch a college basketball player drop like 52 points. I saw him drop in like the game. It was the Mountain West tournament. They were playing before San Diego State, so we got there early. And he dropped like 50. And that never happens in college basketball.
Arguably the greatest college basketball player.
He was unbelievable.
That had zero success in the NBA.
Where's he play now?
He played in China
for a while.
He's
made a lot of money.
I don't know if he's still there.
He had like a shoe deal over there. Like he was.
I think he was trying to do that Olympic 3-on-3, if I remember correctly, was his next thing. But as a college basketball player, Jimmer was incredible. He's like Steph Curry before Steph Curry. He was absolutely
incredible. That was when San Diego State, and they were both ranked in like the top five. And I had friends from other parts of the country going, look, I'm pulling for you guys, of course.
I was at the
but
game,
I'm jealous that you get to watch
the game at Viejas Arena when he took on Kawhi. It was like an 11 a.m. start on national television. BYU won it, but it was the best college basketball.
That was the game I had to camp out for like 5 days.
Environment I have ever been in. And then when they came back and beat him in the Mountain West tournament, and Kawhi actually showed some emotion after the game,
clapping in his face.
One of my favorite sports moments in San Diego history.
Your two little sexual dance over the lore of SDS. Is it over yet?
Yes.
Can I get to what the people really want to hear now?
Go ahead.
And it's the drunk casual Dodger fan in the stands. It was like I was like watching two people make love in here just now. Good Lord.
Forget one of the most fun experiences of our lives of a sporting event. Let's get to some spring training baseball.
100%, dude. And here's the funny part. I did not see this from, you know, local. It's actually a tweet that I would send had I heard it. I saw it from Talkin' Baseball. The John Boy guys, actually, the ones that picked up on it, is the first that I saw. And it said, fan at the Dodgers-Padres game. Well, she thinks she's yelling at Ha-Sung Kim, not Hi-Song Kim.
On her own team.
On her own team, who you just
Ha-Sung
signed.
King.
Yeah, completely different player entirely, completely different human being. He's actually batting from the left side. So that's one thing that you're going to want to notice.
He signed with the, the Rays.
Yeah, he's a Ray. So this is
not in the Cactus League.
Pretty fantastic audio.
That son Kim was swinging and miss.
Come on, Kim,
one for one, infield single in the fourth, walked.
Come on, Kim, is okay.
In the sixth.
Let's go.
On the better team now.
Come on, Kim,
you can actually get a ring.
One. Oh, swing and a miss there.
She
show us what you got.
Somebody tweeted also.
Maybe she was dissing his old Korean team, possibly. I'm not sure.
Did he not win any rings? The little brother of the KBO.
I mean, you're never. Sorry. I've said it for years. It's the most casual fan base I've ever run across. It's not close. It's not close.
I mean, is it somewhat confusing that there's a Ha-Sung Kim and a Ha-Sung?
You know, when it was confusing, it was confusing for about 20 seconds when you said, hey, you know that the Padres may even be looking at a guy named Ha-Sung Kim. And we all remarked, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then
we figured it out.
Then you figure it out and your team signs this guy. You think you'd want to know who it was. And it's so funny and it's so true. And they got just summarily dragged in the comments. I couldn't even believe it. This did not come from me. This comes from a national media outlet. I thought it was priceless.
Adam says, was it confusing that there were two Will Smiths? Yes, she still thinks that the Bad Boys Will Smith is the catcher, for her team.
Bro, I was dying. I was absolutely dying. And I promise you, she's not the only one.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
It's kind of visual, but a great moment after SDFC's win over the LA Galaxy last night. Chicken Lozano goes over to the stands, and there's a family there that's right, like, you know, trying to get an autograph, trying to get a picture. They got their camera out. But the little boy, he grabs him kind of by the face, and the kid is losing his mind. He's, like, crying.
He's weeping.
He's so excited he is crying. And then Chicky starts taking his jersey off to hand it to him, and he starts kind of convulsing,
like this is really happening.
Like,
oh my god,
he's having a seizure. He's shaking. He is so happy and so excited, making a lifetime memory. And it's just so cool that, you know, first game, you know, Chucky as part of the
slaps him on the face a little bit. It's so cute.
It's such a cute, amazing moment at the end of the game last night, and it was such a special night for San Diego sports fans. I was impressed. Did you see the shots of the visitors' supporters section?
Oh, my God.
And they have about 1,000 seats available for road teams. It's only about a 25,000-seat stadium up there in Carson. About 1,000 up at the top in the corner are set aside for the road team. And it was absolutely packed. And by the way, the rest of the stadium, because they all arrived early, like the rest of the stadium was empty, and you had the sections of the SDFC supporters completely jam-packed with no one else in the stadium. Like, I don't know how long that was before the game started, but it was a very cool visual. You could hear them during the game. They kept showing them just how into it they were. A team that's never played a game before to engender that kind of passion was really awesome last night.
Jay to the J.O. says, that'll be me when I finally meet Stephen Woods. Jay, you come to our opening day broadcast, and you walk up to me and introduce yourself, I will give you the shirt off my back. Right? Just like Chick, I'll slap you in the face.
Put my hand on your face.
But I want the same reaction from you as that little kid. I want you in, like you met a beetle. You know what I mean? But I'll rip my shirt off. You know you can have my shirt. Yeah, it was great. It was great. What a beautiful night.
And that was Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I want to talk more about SDFC when we come back. As I'm trying to get more into soccer, Woods, I actually do see a lot of parallels for baseball.
Sure.
We've got a baseball audience here. Clearly, different sports, you know, very different skill sets, but in some ways, I think they may be the most similar sports to each other. And I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll talk more about the Padres as well, dealing with some injuries at spring training early on. Every team does, you know, but you want to keep an eye on these things and see where you actually stand. So we'll talk about all of that coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, GEGE-000466.
First note on a Monday morning, want to talk about our place to play cards in San Diego. It is 7 Mile Casino. It is a short drive. You hop on the 5 freeway, you head down to Chula Vista, 7 minutes from downtown, you are sitting down and playing cards. Contrast that with some of the other card rooms in town. You got to head out deep into the East County, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, and don't forget, you also have to drive back when you're done. So that's an hour and a half to 2 hours in the car where you could actually be enjoying yourself playing cards at the best and most upscale card room in San Diego.
Exactly right. Doesn't feel like a dingy card room when you walk in. It's bright. It's airy. They got an outdoor patio that's phenomenal. Looks right out over San Diego Bay. Super easy to get to. Super easy to park. All of it. It's just we like things easy. I know I do, man. I want to get in. I want to get out. Go get my lunch, whatever it may be. Play some California-style blackjack. That's the place to do it. 7 Mile Casino with baseball season starting up. It's 7 minutes from Petco Park. Great place to pregame. Great place for after the game as well. Just go have a good time.
And when the weather is like this, that patio is
it's unreal.
Beatable. Right on San Diego Bay. You're looking out over to Coronado. I think you can see Don Orsillo's house.
Maybe.
Right from 7 Mile Casino.
You might see him in his boat.
You might. You might actually see him out on the bay fishing a little bit. It's 7 Mile Casino. It's our place. Make it yours as well at 7 Mile Casino. Just 7 minutes from downtown. Looking in our chat. Interesting take here, Ben. Let's see where you go with it. LOL. My comparison of soccer to baseball. I do want to explain myself for sure. First, I will remind everybody that our Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is still going on. Running out of time, but you still have a chance to qualify for the ultimate trip to Las Vegas. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 97.3 The Fan for at least 1 hour to earn your daily entry into our national contest. The grand prize is travel and accommodations for a winner and 3 guests to Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premium sports viewing destination, where you can watch the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim, plus $20,000 in cash. All right, I get that baseball and soccer look very different. Obviously, the skill sets, you know, baseball is all about stick and ball and making contact. Soccer is all about running around and using your feet. So they're very different in terms of what kind of athlete is going to be successful, likely in the sport. But if you look at the other major sports like basketball and football, I think clearly there's a kinship between baseball and soccer and their fans. And here's why I say this, Woods, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. If you are truly a baseball fan, you can very much appreciate a well-pitched, low-scoring game. It can be 0-0 after 3 or 4 innings, but you have a sense of which team is like close to breaking through. You know, hey, they've been putting some runners on. They've been having some chances. Yeah, didn't work out. They didn't come through with a big hit. But the other pitcher's just been dominant, though. Nothing's happening at all. And you feel like one team's ready to break through. Now, does it always happen? No. Sometimes the team that was dominated for the first 3 or 4 innings is the one that ends up scoring 4 in the 4th inning.
Well, you saw all the chances that LAFC had in the last few minutes of the game. And that was, it's essentially, you're like, oh my God, they loaded the bases with nobody out. They're definitely going to score here. And they didn't.
And ultimately, in both sports, baseball and soccer, the better team is going to win the majority of the time. But a lot of the time in baseball and a lot of the time in soccer, You can win a game where you weren't the better team.
Yeah, man. Marlins can go out and beat the Dodgers. You know,
the ball bounces your way. On that yep. one chance that you had, the ball bounces right. You find a goal where the other team may pepper the goalie with like six shots and just can't find the back of the net for a certain game.
Galaxy, not LAFC. I'm going to do that all year.
That's true. There's a whole other team called LAFC. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they get two teams? Sorry.
Just like they have in every other sport.
Exactly.
But in that sense, I think there really is a similar feeling. Now, do I have the knowledge and, you know, depth of information about soccer that I do about baseball yet? I do not. But, you know, even watching last night's SDFC game, I got the sense that it was pretty evenly matched in that first
Galaxy.
Half. You're right, Galaxy. Now you're doing it.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be an epidemic on this program. I'm going to tell you right now.
It's definitely a problem now. You got it in my head. yeah, you got the sense. And would I have been shocked late in the game after San Diego FC took a 1-0 lead, but were unable to, I mean, they had chances to extend that lead a couple of times, and they didn't. Would I have been shocked if the Galaxy had scored the equalizer or even scored a couple of times and pulled out a home 2-1 win? I would not, and no. I would have felt, oh, that's a terrible result for SDFC in their first game. But that's sometimes how soccer goes, and that's sometimes how baseball goes.
100%, dude.
You're up 1-0, you played well for 8 innings, and guess what? A relief pitcher comes in, gives up a 3-run home run, and you lose 3-2.
Yeah, man.
It's part of the sport.
Well, and you know, look at the San Diego Padres on paper against the Los Angeles Angels or the Colorado Rockies. Shouldn't lose much to those guys. It does happen.
And you watch them, you know, those cup games in England where one of like the third division team takes on a Premier League team, and yeah, 9 out of 10, the Premier League team, you know, blows their doors off, and it's 6-1.
Yeah,
but
like
every once in a while, you know, that other team comes up with a 1-0 win. Somehow, some way, it just, everything works out perfectly, and you pull off that giant upset. And that happens in baseball as well. The A's, you know, they beat the Dodgers in a game, you know, in a series.
Sure.
It happens all the time. It's the kind of sport that, I don't want to say that luck is, because it's not luck.
You know, it's skill, but
you know, it's absolutely skill. But over the course of a long season, luck is going to determine a few of those games. No doubt about it. You can't,
again, not to take one single solitary thing away from what the LA Dodgers accomplished last year. Nothing. This takes nothing away from it. But you can't tell me you didn't get lucky in the fifth inning. You can't. That had nothing to do with your skill. You got lucky, and you capitalized, and you finished the job. Aaron Judge had not dropped a ball in center field all season long. Ball hit him right in the palm of the glove. He dropped it. Anthony Rizzo and Garrett Cole. Nobody decides to cover the bag. You got lucky. Now, again, you had to grind. You had to battle. You had two pitchers. You had a bullpen that was, I mean, there's three guys in there. Their arms right now still is hamburger meat. You played your ass off, and I'm not taking anything away from you. But you can't tell me there wasn't some luck involved.
And San Diego FC got lucky on that first goal. You know, you didn't expect a turnover right there in that situation. They weren't applying incredible pressure that forced it into it. It was a mistake. The goalie kicked it a little hard, bounced off the defender's leg right to the right spot to feed a wide open Anders Dreyer and score that first goal.
Yeah.
There's some luck involved in that.
Right place, right time.
You know, you have to put yourself in the right place at the right time.
It was
just
great.
Like in baseball, you know, you gotta put yourself in the opportunity to come through with runners in scoring position. But you're not always going to do it. There's bloop singles. And there's 3-run homers, and bloop singles win a lot of games. It doesn't mean you beat the pitcher. Kind of means you got lucky in that situation, but you gave yourself the opportunity to get lucky enough times that maybe you come through, and sometimes you don't. So in that way, I think there is a potential kinship here in San Diego for baseball fans to also adopt soccer and adopt this team, and you know, get into the sport in a way, because I admit it. I saw the 0-0, no shots on goal in the first half. This is the knock that soccer takes sometimes from American sports fans. And if you're an NFL fan or you're a basketball fan and you expect high scoring action, back and forth, up and down, lots of points, maybe you're not going to totally get into soccer, but I, from baseball fans' perspective, I expect a little bit more. I go,
yeah,
you know what it's like to watch a game.
Yeah, the 0-0
like
game.
The gods are against you.
100%.
It hasn't been fair, and this is not a just result in this game, because that happens all the time in a baseball season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's actually a pretty decent take, Benny. It's not like other sports, certainly. The one thing that I think, you know, sitting down and watching a game last night, and Hannah made the comment too, she goes, my God, that field is big. I go, it really is. I mean, we had a guy on a breakaway. I mean, you can literally see the guy just run out of gas. He's like, I'm done. And he just kicks it down into their zone. And why? Because he just ran seemingly 300 yards on a dead sprint. And it's just massive. So I obviously, watching it exhausts me physically, watching how much those guys have to move around, how little you're able to sub in and out, you know, like that would make all the difference for me. I didn't see any kooky offsides or anything like that that made me, you know, want to pull my hair out or anything like that. We'll get those, I'm sure, this season. But all in all, man, what an enjoyable first game.
In that sense, it's the very opposite of baseball. If you're a designated hitter and you go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, you may not run 50 yards the entire day.
The whole game. Which is my favorite part about the game, to be honest with you. Like yesterday, I didn't even have to run. All right? So it was pretty great. Had 3 ABs, ran about 15 feet, and that was it. It was great.
All right, let's check traffic. I want to talk about some of the injuries the Padres are dealing with. We got some updates on what's going on at spring training, and we'll do that next year on 97.3 The Fan. Now, we'll start here with probably the guy who wasn't competing for a roster spot, but if you had heard the name Cole Paplum before yesterday, it might have been because you saw the story from last year when he got hit by a line drive in the face. And unfortunately, it happened again yesterday during the Padres-Dodgers game. Took one right to the head. I don't know what's going on in Glendale. That's the second time in 3 days,
Bobby Miller,
that a pitcher has taken an absolute screamer
missile
up the middle over like 100 miles an hour right to the dome. And according to the reports, you know, he knew who he was and where he was. I saw Ruben Niebla tweeting later, though, you know, prayers to him, his family. Certainly something, if you're in that organization, you just, it's always the scariest thing in baseball.
I got hit in the stomach with a metal bat up the middle through a hanging, probably a hanging slider. And the guy hit it right up the middle, right off my gut. And you don't feel it for a second. I mean, you pick up the ball and throw to first, and then after, you're like, that. If that was 6 inches higher, it's hitting me in the throat. It is really terrifying. And as our kids get older, and, you know, Bo really wants to pitch. My 7-year-old really, really wants to get on the bump at some point. All it's going to take is one of those. One of those, and it is just makes mom nervous, makes dad nervous, makes everybody nervous. It is, I don't know what, there's no way to combat it, because that's exactly what you teach that kids to do, is you knock his hat off. You know, that's the visualization of hit the ball hard up the middle is what we've all been told our entire lives. And it's just one of those freak accidents, man. There are guys that go through their whole career, Ben, never even take one off the foot, you know, never even really happens. They jump over it, they avoid it, whatever. But this is twice for him. How does he get back on the bump and go out and throw it and do it again, knowing that that's possible?
I got asked.
And not only for him, not only possible, likely.
I got asked at work last night. Someone said, can't the pitchers like wear helmets? Like
they tried that,
the batters
big
do,
goofy hat.
Yeah, the big hat, and no one really sticks with it. Just like football players won't wear the extra padding because it kind of looks dumb.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that makes their head feel lopsided, or, you know, messes up their mechanics. I do understand that that's a personal preference thing, but there's no way to 100% guarantee safety on a baseball field, especially when they're hitting the ball so hard.
The only thing I can think of for a pitcher is some sort of face mask type situation, which I think you could still pitch with some sort of, the way that things are now. It's not
like a catcher's mask?
Yes, but not an actual big, heavy-ass catcher's mask. Some sort of shield that you could still pitch through and play through that wouldn't be entirely cumbersome.
Almost like the regular batting helmets that they have. They have the attachments that you can put the face guard over.
There's got to be something there, because...
Or like when we were in the pandemic and they had that plastic just screen over people's faces.
Over their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much that would do, but there's got to be something that they could do. Yeah. The girls that play fast pitch softball, they all have the cages.
Yeah, they do.
They
yeah,
wear full on cages and helmets. And yeah, for good reason. They're like 15 feet away from home plate. I mean, they're right on top of the plate. I don't know how those girls do it. They're really impressive. But yeah, you may get to the point with baseball players, though. Remember when Alex Torres wore the hat? He got mocked. Yeah. Mocked him. It looked ridiculous.
The Marvin, the Martian.
Yes, it looked ridiculous. And I get it. It's for safety, and I shouldn't have mocked it. But I'm also a human being, and I'll admit my faults. That I laughed hysterically. And when he went out and took the mound with that thing, I went, never. Never. I'd rather get hit in the face. But you say that until it happens to you or your kid. It's definitely something that baseball needs to take a look at.
Meanwhile, there are a couple of pitchers that you did expect to either be on the team in the bullpen or battling for a bullpen spot who are also dealing with injuries. Remember when I said someone's going to show up at spring training, hopefully not one of the starting pitchers like you, Darvish, and we're going to find out. Yeah, they're dealing with something.
Yeah, there's something going on.
It turns out that person was Brian Hoeing, who showed up dealing with a sore shoulder. Hopefully, Padres think that he can start throwing this week, and if he does, should be able to build himself up enough by the start of the season to be a part of the bullpen. But if he doesn't, if there's any setbacks at this point, that could be a concern. Hoeing was going to be counted on as probably a good bulk, middle reliever for the Padres this year, a guy who could eat a couple of innings if they ever needed to do a bullpen day. He's probably a guy they'd ask for maybe like three innings, so your longer reliever and a really good one as well, better than most teams have.
Big time.
Given the success that he's had. So he's an important part of this team.
Look, if it's Brian Hoeing that starts the season on the IL, and I'm not saying that he will, but if he's not quite ready, is he going to murder the San Diego Padres early? No, it's not. And now you look at a guy, Ben, like a Steven Kolek, that was talked about maybe for the fifth spot in the rotation. Maybe he slides into a Brian Hoeing type role. They're fairly deep with arms right now. The one that bummed me out was Sean Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's got a walking boot on. He will be wearing that for a half. And so, yeah, it said it doesn't bode well for him breaking camp with the team, which is kind of a bummer. Don't know what he did.
It's a stress reaction, they said, which worries you because that's what they said about Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah. It affected him all of last season, kept him out a really long time. It's one of those things that nothing but time and staying off of it is really going to, get back. And if you try to come back too soon, you could make it worse.
Yep.
And then just keep yourself out even longer. But he's such an electric
arm. Love that kid, dude.
Really
again,
excited to, hopefully talk to him when we go to spring training this week.
I definitely want to talk to him. I don't know what the policy is. If he's injured and doesn't want to, talk about it, it's fine too. But I really want to meet him and talk to him too, because he is an electric arm out of the Padres bullpen and really a guy I was looking forward to seeing make the team. And doesn't look great right now for him. But again, it's a long season. Get it right. Get it healthy. We've got plenty of depth there. Fernando Tatis, too, was hit by the flu bug. And they're saying he could make his Cactus debut today or tomorrow.
That's not one that you're going to worry too much about.
No.
He'll be healthy, and he'll be fine.
Random note about Fernando Tatis. We were talking about it yesterday at the Tier 1 game in the dugout. Did not know it was official that he's now with Under Armour.
Yeah, a lot of the guys yesterday, the Tier 1s, were talking about it. I guess he is officially an Under Armour athlete. Ben, did you know this?
I did not.
What
was he before?
Well, he was with Adidas.
Then they dropped him.
They dropped him after he was suspended.
Right.
Smart move, Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was kind of a free agent, but he was wearing like custom Jordans and Nikes all the time. And you thought, oh, it's a no-brainer. He's going to be part of Nike baseball. And I guess that was never official. And then
how did they drop that ball?
I don't know. And
Does
then I remember
Armour
the first
make shoes though.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Steph Curry's with them. Bryce Harper in baseball is with them. But the first workouts that Tatis was a part of this spring, I was like looking at some of the pictures. I'm like, oh, those shoes are sick. What are those? And I like kind of zoomed in. I'm like, those are Steph Curry's.
Yeah.
Those are Under Armour's.
Yep.
So interesting.
He's with Under Armour.
I did not know that was the thing.
Paulie made a really good point in the dugout yesterday. He said, so Fernando gets dropped immediately by Adidas, and they kept Kanye West on for
much longer.
I'm going to go with Tatis. Guy can't even get ringworm anymore. gets a simple case of ringworm, and you're going to drop them? I will no longer be wearing
Adidas. At one point, you were able to buy Yeezys on Adidas' website.
Yes.
More recently than Tatis shoes.
Correct.
Like, they dropped Tatis first.
You know that I abandoned my shoe brand as well because of Shohei. I'm no longer a New Balance. I wore New Balance cleats for 20 years.
For your age, New Balances are very big player.
On Son brand. Of a bitch.
So do they not make Skechers baseball cleats that you can just slip into? You don't even have to bend over to put them on.
I had some spikes put on some nurses' orthopedic shoes. No, I went and I got new spikes because I'm not going to wear New Balance anymore.
I keep seeing those Skechers commercials about you don't even have
Montana.
To bend over and put them on, and I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of at that point. Yeah, really, I don't have to bend over to put my shoes on anymore.
When we start wearing Skechers, it's over, right? Like, that's it. That's it. Mrs. Woods retires it. Like, she's like, nope, never again. Like, it's over for me if I start wearing...
But they're the company that's dedicated to comfort, Woods. Why would I want anything other than comfort at this point?
No, I'm with you. But no, I went and got some Nike Trouts. On Saturday because I ditched my New Balance because of Shohei. That's how petty I am.
That's a bad endorsement when you're actually costing market share.
Correct.
By picking the wrong endorser.
Bro, and you can't, hey, by the way, you can't find a better cleat than New Balance. You just can't. I mean, they have all the different, I walked in and I go, oh my God, look at this. Look at the different varieties I had to choose from. I had to end up going with the Trouts, and I'll be honest with you. They weren't super comfortable yesterday in my first day, but I had to do it, man.
I wonder if Skechers makes golf cleats.
I bet you they do.
Actually, my golf cleats, I've abandoned the shoelaces.
Yeah.
I have the...
Oh, man.
It's like a ratchet. You just turn a dial on the back of the shoe, and it tightens it, so I don't have to tie the shoe.
So you ditched the very expensive ones I bought for you.
Yeah, they hurt my feet.
Very cool.
Sorry.
More money well spent.
It hurt my feet. What am I supposed to do? I wore them like 20 times, and they kept hurting my feet every single time.
Skechers.
I tried.
Please
they look
get
good.
Some. I'm
going to
get you some Skechers for Christmas. Will you wear them?
Absolutely.
I know you'll wear them. Who am I asking?
I don't care. I don't care.
Are we going to play the video next that you sent
that
me?
That I sent you? We have to. Trash talk. This is trash talk video. Oh, and I'd like to bring it back. Trash talk like this.
Coming up next with Ben Woods. 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.